Welcome, folks, to another brand new episode of Who's Ghost Stories. I am medium and Reiki master Andrew Huzar. We've got research expert Sean and the definition of plus, Professor Alex Wheaton.
Paranormal enthusiast and cryptid expert.
That too. Plus is more fun.
Apparently.
Last episode was our Buffalo Terminal Redux. This one we're doing more standard fare here. Looking at Keister Road in Slippery Rock, PA, 133 Keister Road, to be specific. Before jumping in, though, just remember to hit up our sponsors, Spirit Magica, for all your crystal needs. If you're like me and you like a football team that's not always very consistent and good,
Dolphins,
then you're going to need some crystals to keep your joy up. So go ahead, get those orders in. Maybe they'll help your team make a playoff run. Yeah. On the other side, we've got Pet Art Creations. Such a weird name. I think I gotta come up with something more compact here. But Pet Art Creations, they will do custom artwork for any pets or people, anything at all for you. Beautiful artwork. They did one of my three pets. Go check them out. Use our links in the description for both of them. If you go to Spirit Magica, use coupon code WHOSAR11 to get to get yourself 11% off your order. So this is kind of an exciting episode. It could have technically been part of Back to School. It can also technically not be part of Back to School.
Yeah, it's not directly related to the school, more towards a property that happened to be home to a fraternity.
I have a question.
Okay. I have an answer.
Only because I'm an English person. Is it Keister or is it Keister? Because it seems German, and I could see it being Keister Road.
Funny enough, every time I saw it mentioned, I didn't actually hear what they called it.
I like Keister.
I'm thinking it's
Keister. We'll go with Keister, but for anyone who is familiar with the location, if it is pronounced Keister Road, please let us know. But otherwise, we will be referring to it as Keister Road.
Yeah, actually. You can find Who's Our Reiki Readings on TikTok, and you can submit a video of yourself trying to say the correct pronunciation of Keister Road.
You can make a Stitch video with it?
Go ahead.
Oh, dang.
I will put this as a Stitch. Go nuts. If anyone does, and there's any that make us laugh, I'll even throw it in a future video.
Keister Road.
Maybe even at the end of this one.
Who knows?
But without further ado, Sean, take us in.
Slippery Rock is a borough located in Butler County, PA. Mm-hmm. With a population of approximately 3,100 citizens. The borough was incorporated in 1841, changing its name from Ginger Hill to Centerville before reaching its current name in 1896. Slippery Rock is home to the eponymous Slippery Rock University of Pennsylvania. This university is attended by about 9,000 students each year. As we have seen with other universities, Slippery Rock has many sororities and fraternities. Our story involves one specific fraternity, Alpha Sigma Phi, and the former location of their fraternity, 133 Keister Road.
The house on 133 Keister Road was built in 1927 and was acquired by the university at some point during the 20th century. In 2006, students living inside the house began to experience unexplained noises and footsteps. The young men living in the house would name their newest housemate Ted. When one fraternity brother denounced the spirit and stated that he did not believe in him and that he would haze him, the activity in the home escalated. Doors would slam, the sounds of girls giggling would be heard, and according to one account, the fraternity paddles in the chapter room on the third floor would come off the wall and slide across the floor on their own. One night, nine of the brothers would attempt to make contact with the spirit and began asking it questions. When the men asked the spirit how many people were in the room, it spelled nine before dispelling the name Sam and the word kill. After this encounter, many of the students would leave the home. One student who stayed in the house would be attacked by an invisible force. He stated that the spirit lifted him off the ground and attempted to hang him with a bedsheet. The boys would destroy the Ouija board that they used to contact the spirit, and the activity did go back to being less oppressive.
There are two stories that are related to this haunting. The first tells of a man named Sam Mohawk, who entered the home of James Wigton in 1843. While Mr. Wigton was away, Sam would murder Mrs. Wigton and their five children. After attacking another neighbor, a mob would catch Sam Mohawk and a trial was held, finding the man guilty and that he would be executed. When Sam was asked if he preferred to be shot or hung, the man chose to be shot. The mob would decide to hang Sam from a tree. Another story states that the home was that of Mr. Keister, his wife, and his two daughters. After living in the home for less than a year, Mr. Keister drowned his two daughters and shot his wife. He would then hang himself on the same floor as the fraternity chapter room.
Today, 133 Keister Road is a private residence and is no longer part of the Alpha Sigma Phi fraternity. Though the fraternity is no longer there, it is said that there is still a presence and shadow people have been sighted. The experiences had there will stick with those that experienced them. Their stories have been chronicled, as in Episode 6, Frat House Phantom, of the short series School Spirits, and one of the fraternity members would go on to create a YouTube channel called Resident Undead. We would recommend both if you would like to learn more about their experiences. Remember, you never know who's haunting your house, and it is best not to enrage a spirit in your home, or you may end up the next Who's Ghost Story.
Boom. So, 100% not a soapbox. Ouija boards, they're spirit boards. Ouija's just the brand name owned by Parker right. Brothers or whoever it is. Spirit boards themselves are not evil. They are a tool used to contact the dead. Mm-hmm. However,
there are rules.
Even for trained mediums and people that know how to use them, spirit boards, the best way to describe it is you are literally calling a random payphone in the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. There's no telling who's going to pick up. People say they have ways to contact specific spirits, but you really don't. It is just opening a straight portal, and whoever's on the other side comes right through.
It's putting a big beacon spotlight right there and be like, hey, come here.
Anybody in the neighborhood.
Yeah. I've used a spirit board many times without issues, but there is always that risk that you just really don't know what's coming up. So you do have to take steps to protect yourself. And if you agitate whatever it is that comes through, then you're going to have to take some steps to get rid of it then.
And I know specifically in that episode of School Spirits, some of the fraternity members that they interviewed actually said that none of them had experience with it. They knew like the basics of how to use the board, but they didn't really know what they were doing.
Yeah.
That was self-admitted.
So you definitely got to be careful. So that's not really so much, just a little FYI for anyone out there that hasn't used them or they do think they're pure evil or whatever. They're a tool. They are in the gray area. They can be good or bad, but you got to be safe. And they were not safe.
Did we ever close the Ouija board session from like when we were like 12?
I don't know if we ever started it correctly.
That's fair.
Let alone closed it.
That's fair. Just all of a sudden, I was like, you know, that's a good question that it pops in my mind every once in a while.
Anybody currently residing there, we're sorry.
Yeah, that's fair.
That house was pretty haunted, so it could have been our fault.
You know, I never thought of it. Anyway, so I have some questions.
We hopefully can fill in some blanks.
Sam Mohawk. Was he of any other race other than white?
He was.
Hmm.
He was Native American.
Had a feeling.
So, one thing I'll ask you for what you... Because you watched the episode and researched a little more. From what I read, everything said, like... It was weird. Like, the tree wasn't where the house was. It was, like, near the property, but like it didn't even sound like it was on the property.
So one of the things that the episode did say, and there's been a couple counteracting stories, because one, the episode kind of dramatizes it a little and makes it sound like the family lived inside that house. They yeah. didn't. They lived in a house that's up, I believe they said it's behind like the hospital. So that had nothing to do with it, but the dramatization made it seem like that. The dramatization also kind of made it seem like the tree was a stone's throw away from the house. That was never confirmed nor denied what tree he was hung in, but from the sounds of it, it wasn't near there.
Yeah, so it's a little bit like we got a Gore Orphanage situation on our hands.
The other thing, though, when you think about Slippery Rock, though, is it's not necessarily a big area.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember, it was basically the whole town that mobbed and essentially yeah. lynched this guy. So, regardless of where it took place, the whole town took part in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think it really matters where it took place.
It's partly why I was like...
Blood on everyone's hands kind of deal. Especially when he says, can you shoot me in the head? And
you decide to
I'm going to hang you.
Which, anyone who doesn't know anything about corporal punishment, hanging is a very brutal way to die. It's long
only
and painful.
Works right about 50% of the time.
And even that's a crapshoot.
And a lot of times you just get choked out instead yeah. of it snapping.
You slowly. It is very painful.
It's probably why they chose more than if yeah. he murdered that family.
Especially knowing that he's terrified because now his worst fear is happening.
Yeah.
So
he did murder a bunch of people, though, so I can't feel too bad for him.
No.
It's a weird line. You don't...
You killed 5 kids. Like,
So, I do have a question more questions, but... So, since there are 2 stories that are related to the haunting, it's... What one has more fact or history to back it up is my question.
Second story has absolutely no fact.
Okay.
I was going to say the same thing, because I didn't even...
I was going to ask about this Mr. Keister.
The Keister family, it was claimed that they built the house in 1896... lived there for a year, 1897, and then he killed them all. Zillow says the house was built in 1927, so...
Yeah. I was... Because the whole thing that made me think about that in particular is just because... Yeah, at a certain point in history, a road was named after the person who lived there, but...
Generally not in the early 1900s.
No. Yeah. And that's why I was like, it seemed more of... someone putting a legend that there was a man, and it sounded like a classic small town legend of, oh, Keister Road, Mr. Keister. That's why. And it's like
Man Gore on Gore Orphanage Road.
Exactly. Yep. Same concept. So that was the one thing. The other thing is, and I'm meaning no disrespect by it, the firsthand experience from our frat boys. How reliable are they? Like, were they under the influence of anything when they did that?
So one of the things that the story did say is this wasn't like a single occurrence. Like, this is stuff that was yeah. happening over a period of time. And it was so much so that it got to the point where literally all but, at least in the dramatization, all but one of them left.
And that's why, because the whole thing is, the dramatization always is...
Right. And from the sounds of it, a lot of their stuff is, you know, firsthand experiences. So I do lean towards believing it, but it isn't like they got drunk one night and saw a yeah. cowboy walking out on the roof.
Yeah.
Like,
so
this is something that happened over a period of... It didn't specify, but I would like to say at least weeks, if not months.
The reasons I'm thinking of in particular, doors slamming, that could be anyone trying to prank someone else in the house.
The episode itself, a lot of the newest pledges actually said that they thought that they were... the people of the fraternity pranking them or hazing them, basically, yeah, because they were new pledges. And one of the stories they heard of, I want to say that it was doors slamming, and they were coming, or no, it was the girls giggling, and they were coming from this one guy's room, and they went to the room, and the guy was completely asleep.
I was going to ask about the girls giggling, because I can totally see sorority girls playing a prank and, like,
right,
being outside the window. And
a lot of this stuff was coming from the third floor.
Still outside the window, ladder, not that hard. That's, like, those things in particular make me just kind of go, the healthy skeptic in me goes,
right,
how much of this is, as we've talked about in several of our back-to-school episodes, kids who are first-time adults and bored, and as we just said, Slippery Rock is a small place, you're going to pull pranks on each other. So I wonder a part of that. But the other one, the thing that sticks out the most to me is just kind of weird. And I don't know for good or for bad, but the one student who stayed and was attacked by an invisible force, lifted him off the ground and attempted to hang him. Mm-hmm. How long after everything had happened was this? Like,
so, once again, a lot of the story that I saw in the episode, because that's the only account of it, and that obviously had the student in there. I'd say it's okay to say his name, because he's actually the one that has the channel Resident Undead. His name's Adam. So Adam literally had nowhere else to go. So he was the one that stayed behind because nowhere, yeah, else to live. Watching it in there, it seemed like it had been at least a couple of weeks. I know a lot of the episode was showing that he just wasn't sleeping at night because he couldn't. So he's like falling asleep during, yeah, class, you know, just couldn't sleep. So I would say it was probably at least a week or two. Yeah. Not sure.
Knowing that it was the individual who has his own separate thing immediately gives more credibility to that story. Because if he wasn't, I would wonder if it was just, you know, someone trying to,
right,
add to the story and get famous. But if it's someone who has talked about other things, it's like I'm more willing to believe them.
Right. You know, someone that has a personal attachment to this. Like, pretty much all three of us have some kind of attachment to this kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, that's why it interests us. But I don't know. I don't know if it's because I sat and watched them for 43 minutes. But I feel like I have kind of a connection to them. And I want to say I believe them.
No. And what lends credibility to it as well, in a weird way, is that not all the housemates believed it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They had their own skeptics in there with them.
In fact, the member that saw the paddle come off the wall and the paddle move itself across the floor was probably the biggest skeptic of all of it. And he's the one that walked in and saw it, and he's like, I can't explain that. I can't explain it.
What I would love to know, and part of me says yes, the other part of me says no, the ghost that they call Ted... I want to know if that was always Sam and he was just chill at that point, or if that was a completely different ghost or set of ghosts, and then when they did the Ouija, that brought Sam through. Because after the hazing, even that activity escalated, but it wasn't anything violent.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, after the Ouija board, is when things got really bad.
It seems like two different...
Right, but it also could be like...
Literally.
The escalation of... the first ghost too, so it's like it's tough to say. I lean towards it being two separates. Mm-hmm.
And I also left that out of here because I wanted to leave it kind of vague, because I do want people to search out the episode and watch it, because it does give a lot of context to everything that we've provided. But when they were doing the Ouija stuff, one of the fraternity members was just like, I'm done with this, I can't do this anymore. And he went to the door, and it wouldn't open. And he was pulling on it and pulling on it, and the door would not open. And then, while he was pulling it, the door threw open into him and knocked him down. And this was a very large man, and he said that getting hit by that force felt like it does when you're a lineman in football. Mm. With another person just running into you and just that much,
yeah,
you know, impact. So that was one of the other experiences right after they started using the Ouija board.
Incredible. And that's what leads me to believe in two different spirits. Like, I could see whatever spirit Ted was almost being one that was just kind of like hanging out.
Right.
And then he got a little peeved when the one guy started talking smack on him. But the Ouija board is when Sam Mohawk or another equally negative spirit came through.
And
we'll just leave it at Sam.
Yeah.
Because that's the easier way, because as we've already said, do we really want to go that it is in fact Sam Mohawk when we don't have as much information? So Sam we have. Mohawk is...
And for all we know, we keep relating the giggling girls to potentially girls that were murdered in the area. We all know that sometimes things that are not spirits and something darker will take on the sound of something innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a good likelihood that this wasn't a necessarily just a spirit in the area that came through.
Mm-hmm. Sam may not have been a spirit.
Right.
It was just from the area.
No. Absolutely fascinating. So, Alex.
Yeah?
If we were to go there, what would you expect, or like, what would you want to check out?
Well, first off, I want to know, like, is anyone actively living there?
I think so. It's a private residence now, isn't it?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean someone's living there.
I don't know if it's... And when it became a private residence, that was in 2012, 2013. So, I don't know if it's changed hands since then. Zillow wasn't too helpful on that.
I think
someone lives in there. When I was, like, Google mapping it, I didn't see, like, anything that would show, like, somebody it was abandoned or for sale or anything.
That's where I'm thinking is... For me, I'm more interested to know, like, if a person's living there currently, is there any kind of feeling or activity that they have? Because if there is, okay, interesting. But if they had never heard the stories and lived there since 2013 and have not felt anything, I'd be interested to know, like, where does the story come from and things like that, so...
And I will say that even if it is all legitimate, there's a big difference between a fraternity mm-hmm. house that's throwing parties versus
and a private home,
a home that has a single family living in it. There's a lot more energy.
Or a single person, for that matter, yeah.
There's a lot more energy in a party environment, enough to form a physical cowboy.
Yeah.
We're going to keep going back to that cowboy.
At least we got a fraternity house this time.
Yeah, we know which one.
What about you, Sean?
If I could get there, I'd love to check out the third floor. Because that's where the majority of this activity was. I still believe, though, that if anything's there, I don't think it gets enough energy. And I think that's a big reason of why, if there isn't a bunch of activity there... These spirits don't have the energy to be conjured, is what I'm thinking.
No,
they've been domesticated. Like,
no, I would love to check out the third floor as well. Even the room that they did the Ouija board in would be interesting to go to as well. It'd be like if they didn't close it properly that night. I know they eventually burned the board, but it'd be cool, like, with the pendulum to see if there's still even, like, a tiny portal open.
Right.
Because even if there's small activity, it could be things coming and going at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be really cool to see and find out. You know, the private residence, I don't think we have a will. So I think your best bet's definitely going to be checking out School Spirits.
Yeah, it's done really well.
And there's any final thoughts from anyone?
If you are the current resident of 133 Keister Road, please reach out to us. Let us know if you would be interested in giving us, like, we're very public about who we are. If you'd be interested in showing us around, we would be, you know, very respectful and be willing to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you are like, this legend's full of crap, bring us in.
We can. We don't really like just naysaying stuff, but if you have a side to it that says, look, this is all made up, this never happened, please tell people to stop coming to our house. Like, if that's your story, hey, if we have enough, we'll definitely do a full episode or at least post something getting your story out there.
But I think that does it for old Keister Road.
Thanks 133 Keister Road.
133 Keister Road. Thank you all for watching. Like, subscribe, throw a comment down there if you want. You can find Who's Our Reiki Readings on all your social media, from TikTok to the Facebook to Instagram.
Anchor.
Yes.
Twitter. We are
everywhere. Amazon Music.
Yep. Yeah, I did see that.
If you can find a podcast there, there's a good chance we're there.
Yeah, so look us out. Look us up.
Check us out, too. It's all good.
Share us with everyone you know.